Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters of Christ, we turn our attention to that first reading from Philippians chapter 2. You might notice Philippians 2 takes us into a conversation about fear and love. Starting with verse 5, we read, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." I must tell you that as I read this description of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my mind immediately went to the Garden of Gethsemane. There, as Jesus was sweating those drops of blood, you can sense both fear and love in Jesus' words. He, and rightly so, feared the wrath of God upon sin. But he also loved God with all of his heart and with all of his soul, with all of his mind, and he loved his neighbors, that is, all nations as well. There, with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see the answer to the question asked in the title of today's sermon, "Whom shall I love and whom shall I fear?" And because of his great love for us, Jesus sacrificed himself. He took all of the wrath of God's sin upon himself so that by faith we might never have to fear God's wrath, but always live in the love of God. Now, those of you who have studied and remember Luther's Small Catechism know that the explanation to every commandment begins with the saying, "We should fear and love God." Luther understood what Jesus experienced in Gethsemane and also what Paul was saying when he said, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus." We should fear God's wrath just as Jesus did in the garden. For without faith, that is our fate. And we are to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and with all of our mind and our neighbors as Jesus did. Unfortunately, in our twisted and politicized world, many replace love with hatred. And they replace the fear of the Lord with fear of other humans. And it is those very attitudes that the devil uses to cause division and strife in mankind. They flow from feelings of envy and depravity, privilege and pride, self-service and selfishness. And just think how contrary all of this is to what we hear in Philippians chapter 2. Luther and Jesus had it right. We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. I think as Luther wrote that, he was really writing a commentary on the answer Jesus gave to the man who said, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" To which Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And now to those words, St. Paul in today's reading through the work of the Holy Spirit says, "If there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. To this, I will add the question, who is my neighbor? Well, it's everybody that's not me. Which means then, who is your neighbor? Everybody that's not you. But you know, we can say these things, we can even know these things, but then we realize that we live in a world that is filled with fear and hate, and that we are constantly bombarded with those messages from all sides. And it makes it very difficult for us to hear God's word without using the world's filter to hear it. Compounding the problem, as the body of Christ, God intentionally places us in the middle of all the tension. Just as he did, by the way, with his only begotten Son, Jesus, in the incarnation. And he calls us then to ignore our fleshly fears and to even love those who hate us. I really think that's what Paul is talking about in verse 12 when he says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Try thinking about it this way. First, God enters into us through the power of his word. This reconciles us to God. It's the reason why we don't have to fear his wrath anymore. Because of that working of the word in us, we have peace with God and are filled with his love. However, that wondrous transformation that is ours in Christ Jesus is immediately challenged by our own sinful flesh. God's love, which has been planted in us, is for all, even for those who make our flesh cringe. And God's love seeks to have us love more than just in theory. He is proactively positioning us right in the tough places. He seeks to place us where God's love is needed the most. That is what working out our salvation is all about. But even when we get that, we still tend to hear different words of his through that fleshly filter. We hear, "Work out our own salvation with fear and trembling." Oh yeah, but who are we to fear? Not our neighbor. We are to fear God's wrath. But why would a God who loves us so much call us to sacrifice ourselves for people who don't even like us? Well, I don't think we have to look beyond John 3:16 to find that answer, do we? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His love, the love that he plants in us through the word, is not, well, how does 1 Corinthians say it? Huh? That love is not arrogant or rude. It does not envy or boast. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Racial tensions are one of the great tensions and divisions in our society today. There's a whole lot of hurt in lots of places, a whole lot of anger, a whole lot of hate, a whole lot of misunderstanding. As the children of God in Christ Jesus, You and I have a calling from our God and Savior. That calling is not to add to the hurt or to run away from it or to ignore it. Nor is it to look at it through polarizing eyes of the right or the left, but to look at it through the eyes of Christ. Christ, who did nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility counted others more significant than himself. Christ, who emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, and being in the form of likeness of man, found himself in human form, humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. To this huge demand, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, goes on to say, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life." Just think, my friends, Christ did all of this so that you and I, that we might be united with him forever. But his love isn't just for us. It's also for everyone who is in this crooked and twisted generation. Thus, his love, which flows into us, also flows through us to everyone else in this twisted and crooked generation. And it flows through us for the express purpose that God's joy may be complete by being of the same mind, having the same love, being of full accord and of one mind with one another in our human race. Wow. Does that sound impossible? Yeah, it sounds impossible to me too. However, have you ever heard the expression, "All things are possible for God"? That's truth. Also true is this: God has changed us. God is changing us. And God has chosen to use us as his change agents in this world at this time. He's called us to be his bridge builders in a divided and hostile society. Knowing that our fear is removed, along with our hate, all removed by Jesus, as he fills us with his love and an unworldly, self-flesh contradictory love for our neighbors, he gets into us and forces us into those difficult situations and conversations and into being a part of God's equation for making the world one. All through that same Jesus who comes to us in his word and sacrament and is alive in our presence. In his name, amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding and all fleshly desires keep our hearts and minds in him, Christ Jesus, to life everlasting. Amen. I invite you now to rise for a time of